Hello again, everyone. If you could take your seats, we should get started again. We only have time set aside until noon today, so and we have a few more topics to discuss. Thank you. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Let's get started. First of all, for those that are dialing into the meeting, are you there? And if you could say hello, it helps us do a bit of a sound check.
Yes, still here.
Great.
Yes, Japan is on drawing.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's move on. The first item to discuss is the Secretariat support for the GAC, and this comes under objective number 4 in the Terms of Reference for the Joint Working Group. Some of you may know that a number of GAC members have been working on this issue, which is of considerable importance to the GAC and its future work. And so Joe Tabone from Malta has kindly agreed to give us a bit of background on how this work is progressing and why the GAC considers this to be an important aspect of our participation in ICANN and so on. So I will turn the floor over to Joe.
Thank you very much. Heather, can you hear me? No.
Okay, thank you very much. You can hear me better now. Matter of the appropriate secretariat services for the GAC has been really a challenging one as far back as I have been associated with the GAC, and there have been discussions relating to this really from time to time. Up until now, I think that the GAC has been very, very, very fortunate in the support that is received for the provision of these services by successive governments or institutions, starting with the Australian government for a period of time, then the European government, and now the kind support of the Indian government. This, I think, has really served us been fairly well up until now. Although it's always been really for a period of time, and there have been these preoccupations about what happens after the present arrangements really come to an end. But be that as it may, what the GAC requires now going into the future now, really as a result of a new operating framework of ICANN and the really more important prominent role of GAC is something that is really entirely different from what we've had really up until now. it is fairly clear that the role that really is emerging for really GAC is one that is going to have to be really more proactive than it has been in the past, more really tuned into really addressing really public policy issues, really geared to the anticipated growth that that is anticipated in the internet as a result of recent policy changes, and a whole host of other things that are touched on in the document that has been really circulated to you, the joint work group, and the other thing is. Whilst the present arrangements with the Indian governments really have been really extended until June next year, I believe, there is really a pressing need for the GAC and its secretariat to really have in place the capacity that it requires, that is implied in this new role, as soon as it is really possible. Now, in terms of really looking at the options for really dealing with this, there are some peculiarities, no doubt, which we're all aware of, insofar as the GAC. GAC is really a component part of ICANN. It's really part of the really overall structure of ICANN. It is really an advisory group, but at the same time, there is this view that really it needs to be independent of ICANN. So how do we really deal really with this? It's also unusual as an organization, I suppose, in that you have this rotating really chairmanship that has really been traditionally the case. And I think it's also very, very important for the future and the model that that we adopt, that we are able to really develop some institutional memory. I think this is something that is terribly, terribly critical. Well, a few of us have been working on this, and there's a paper that has been really circulated, which I understand is going to be discussed next Wednesday morning, be discussed in some detail. And the paper, really for the time being, attempts to address the possible really models that we should be looking at for really a future secretariat, but the models in terms of the actual funding of the secretariat itself, but it's actually not looking at the type of institutional setup that we should be having, or where the organisation should be located. I think that is really the next stage. Once we've discussed on a model that is suitable for us, then I think the next thing would be to really get an agreement on the type of institutional setup that that we require. And the five models that the paper that has been circulated looks at, and it provides the pros and cons for each of these. The first one of these is essentially really continuing as we are at the present time, which is... really, no doubt, really unacceptable. The second option is for GAC secretariat that is, resourced by ICANN, but assigned to the GAC. So, for all intents and purposes, GAC would. Once its role has been defined and an agreement really on the scope, it really proposes a budget that is required to cover the cost of its operations to ICANN, and if this is approved, and then ICANN secures the resources, the capacity by way of people that are required to to provide the necessary services. A third really option would be for a model that will again be financed by ICANN, but it will be the Secretariat will be completely accountable to the GAC. That means that, that the Secretariat will be essentially accountable to the GAC, controlled really by it. It's the GAC that determines its agenda. It'll be the GAC that makes the decision on the people that are required. The very fourth model that is looked at is one that is financed by the membership. This means that really every really government represented on the Secretariat will make a contribution towards really a budget that is required to sustain the really GAC. Certainly address the really perception of independence. I think what has to be borne in mind in this, in really going for this option, whilst it may be a very desirable one, is how long this will take really in order to do this, the level of preparedness there is on the part of governments to actually contribute to such a model. Bearing in mind the fact that we actually need the Secretariat and the capacity now and really not years in the future. The fifth model that the paper that's being circulated looks at is really for a hybrid model. So this would be a model where the Secretariat is really partially financed or a contribution to its really budget is made by ICANN, and there'll be a contribution that will be made by some governments. It may very well be that a hybrid model will really over time evolve into a model that is completely financed by governments, if that is the wish of the majority of the Secretariat. So that is really the paper that has been really circulated and which is going to be discussed on Wednesday. I'd be quite happy to answer questions relating to this. I thought I don't know whether you expect me to go into detail on each of the options and the pros and cons at this point in time.
Thank you, Joe. I think that is very helpful for today's purposes. I have a couple around the table that have asked to speak, so they may have comments or questions for you. And as Joe mentioned, the GAC will be discussing this as the GAC this week, which I think we need to do. There are certainly a number of issues here that we need to consider further, in a GAC setting. We are running short of time, so I don't anticipate this being a lengthy agenda item. I understand that some have a meeting at 12:30, so they may disappear at around 12:15, and so we will aim to conclude by 12:15 if we can. Okay. So I have Jean-Jacques, and then I have Latvia. Please.
Thank you. I realize that it is perhaps premature for me to say what I will be saying, but you will be discussing this on a GAC-only basis, of course, so I thought I would take this opportunity to air my views on this. First, I'd like to say that Mr. Tabone's study and proposals are extremely interesting. They do give a clear sense of what the challenges are and some of the possible solutions. My purpose here today is to put on the table an alternative solution which includes some of the views put forward by Mr. Tabone. looking at what the task of the Secretariat will be in the coming years, I think that one of the most important features will be to have a very identifiable, powerful would not be the right word, but in any case, a person who is a reference for the GAC and who would be the secretary of the GAC. Now, there are several ways of looking at this. Do a headhunt, search for someone who will ask for high pay, or the alternative would be to continue doing as is presently done. That means one country proposes someone. I would venture to propose another scheme, which would be for the GAC to make a call for candidates and to vote on the most suitable candidate. But there's a trick here. The selected candidate would know in advance that she or he would not be paid. Expenses paid, but no salary. Why do I say this? Because I'm struck by the fact that in ICANN, so much of our work, so much of the value added in ICANN is due to volunteer work. So I would not find that extraordinary. I would find that even in keeping with the very spirit of ICANN. To have a volunteer elected for whatever you want. 1 year would be too brief. Mr. Thabon insisted on the necessity of having some institutional memory, some carryover. So I'd say 2-3 years, perhaps. And under that secretary, there could be 2, 3, 4 people. It could be incremental, I mean a progressive approach, starting with 1 or 2. And if you started with 2 support staff, one could be provided, for instance, by any member of the GAC, which is a volunteer to provide that person. And the second person could be support staff provided by ICANN. By the way, here again, I'm speaking in a private capacity. I have no authority whatever to say that this would be possible. I have no idea. This is just a proposal. So in this way, I think the advantage would be to place the level of responsibility at the level of the GAC, because it would be the GAC and not one country and not ICANN which would be selecting your head of the Secretariat. And at the same time, the Secretariat could better reflect the composite nature of your working system, of your budget, etc., where you would have one member of the Secretariat provided by a volunteer state, another by the ICANN organization, etc. And as the Secretariat grows according to the GAC's needs, and not only for budget considerations, then you could augment that in the same way. So I wanted to make this private proposal.
Would you like to respond, Joe?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I think that that is certainly another option. I think that really should be really considered, what is going to be really important is to get really an agreement on the part of the majority of the paper steered clear of either trying to. Really propose a structure for such a secretariat, because I think that is something that is very much dependent on the role that emerges from the work of the joint work group. So I think that the structure and the scope will be determined there. I think that this really paper was really confining itself to really the model of financing, which really has been the most controversial thing. I think the only comment I would make really to that, I think it's a very, very important really option to consider, is we have this really peculiarity in this this is a very, very, very important organization. You do have a rotating chairmanship, and I think that it's a very, very important to really continue to have that. Also, the fact that the chairman is really doing this by virtue of his or her membership as on the GAC. So the chairman, you know, typically has another day job, really quite apart, you know, from this. So really, this means really having really the requisite capacity to provide the support to that rotating really chairmanship. And the question I have, you know, would have to do with the wisdom of having yet another rotating head of secretariat as a secretary. I think that it's really important in terms of really developing this capacity and the necessary institutional memory to keep up really with the requirements implied, you know, for the GAC that you have. Really as head of secretariat, somebody who's the choice of the really membership at large. But I would be sort of a little concerned about having yet another rotating really position at the top of GAC. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand Jean-Jacques would like to respond.
Very briefly, thank you, Heather. Just to make it clear that my proposal does not in any way suggest the disappearance or the diminishing role of the chair of the GAC, naturally not. It's simply that, and also I think that the word rotation, which you used, Mr. Tabon, was not the one I was thinking of. It's not a rotation from one country to another. It would be a selection by the membership of GAC on whatever criteria you choose. It can be a former representative at the GAC, or it could be a Nobel Peace Prize if you want one, and if you can persuade one to give all the necessary time on a voluntary basis. That's more what I was thinking of. Thanks.
And now on the topic of the GAC chair, I believe Yanis would like to make a comment.
Thank you. I think this is a very timely and very important debate because what we need in reality, we need two things. We need a sustainability of secretariat, whatever model we're choosing. We need that this is a long-term sustainable solution, because until now we have, in 10 years, we have had three secretariats, and we have very little institutional memory. Good that many documents are on ICANN website, but on the GAC website, and whether there are physical GAC document archives, I'm not sure. So I'm keeping all documents I am producing, or I'm signing originals, and I intend to give them to ICANN when my term is over. But these things are secretarial things, and we need some secretariat which is permanent and works continuously for the GAC. And the second, what we need a quality secretariat. Indeed, all of us, we are volunteers, but all of us, we have also our daily jobs and responsibilities. And the quality is the question which requires time. And I observe that the time allocation what governments allow for GAC members to spend on GAC issues is far from ideal, and the quality secretariat could compensate this lack of time national governments can spend on the GAC and ICANN things by producing drafts, and I think that this is essential question. From proposed models, I believe that only one is really sustainable, and that is ICANN-funded secretariat with all safeguards and, protection from potential influence. Whether we are ready to accept that model, I have my doubts. I've heard in informal discussions that some GAC members are not very comfortable. Whatever we will end up agreeing upon, this should be as sustainable as possible and as qualitative as possible.
Thank you very much for that, Yanis. Ah, Maimuna, please.
Thank you, Eza. My name is Maimuna Djoukdiagne. I am the Senegalese representative on the GAC. On the secretariat issue, I really want to support what Janice just said. I think what we need is a long-term and sustainable secretariat. And the way to do that, I think, is to get it from the ICANN. If ICANN is ready to help us to have this secretariat and provide some staff. I'm also concerned about, as the at-large do, the regional secretariat. I think this option could help some region to be more active and to understand what is going on the ICANN. I know that some of our colleagues are not very comfortable of this, but I think that we are part of the ICANN, even if we are from government. We accept to be there, so I think we need also to be part of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Senegal. Okay, I think that is the final intervention on that agenda item. So let's move now to objective number one and the matter of how to look at the issue of GAC providing public policy advice to the board. I think this will be our last agenda item for today because it's around 12 o'clock now. So what I would like us to focus on is what we might look at and how we might consider the process of providing advice in order to make recommendations on this particular item. I note that in previous discussions in the joint working group, we have referenced the GAC principles documents as a sort of main pieces of advice that we have provided to the board, but that's still quite general. We also provide advice in the form of communiques and so on. So I hope that that colleagues have some suggestions to make as to how we might proceed. So the floor is open. Norway, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question on the working group. Have you, regarding discussed different options of formalizing, like you said, there are different kinds of advice from the GAC to the ICANN board. They might need to be sort of detailed in the bylaws or in our operating principles way. And also what we have discussed in the past, the communication of which is, of course, in this document that you have produced, if we are then asked for advice formally or we then just advise on our own initiative, etc. So I think it might be put down on, I think the reason why this question has come up is because it's a bit unclear the status currently, so we need to maybe start to define ways of the GAC can give advice and just to make it clearer, both for us but also for the ICANN board. But I would like to hear, well, if you had sort of discussion on this in a previous. Thanks.
Thank you, Norway. I don't know whether you're prepared to provide a view on what you believe constitutes formal GAC advice, but now would be a fine time to add that.
Well, we believe that formal GAC advice constitutes several things, which is listed here. The GAC principle, the principles that GAC produces, the principles and the wording, of course, principles, is more overarching. And we then provide more detailed advice through our communiques and through the letters. I think they all forms of GAC advice. They all are GAC advice. But of course, there are different forms and different levels of details. And I think also sometimes we refer to the GAC principles on certain issues, and then we then further detail or trying to explain what we meant in that principle and what that should be, sort of how that should be understood. So I think then in both the communiques and the letters, we then details more than we have given in the principles, which are more overarching. So I think that's at least the sort of the first impression view on what constitutes GAC advice. The experience of sort of sometimes the response to the GAC advice has been a bit unclear. Sometimes, sort of, at least we have the experience, what we have had in the GAC is how the ICANN board has responded to either the principles, sometimes responded, like, for example, some responses to the letters, which have been sort of a proper response to the different issues that we put in, like the GTLD letters that we have produced in the recently. Then we got a sort of a response that can be identified. But other times we have had sort of maybe responses, but we have not been really sure if we have got a response to this or not. That can be, for example, things in our communiques that we are not sure that we actually got a response. There, of course, we can find a kind of a response in a resolution by the ICANN board, but we are not sure. So it's not addressed specifically. So that can, I think, be improved. But also then our GAC advice must be sort of maybe improved in the response that, in the way that it's clear to the ICANN board that we actually are giving advice. So it's both ways, I think. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Norway. So we have a proposal that one of the difficulties in receiving responses from the ICANN board is due to possible lack of clarity over what constitutes GAC advice, which seems like a perfect question for someone from the board to respond to, if not today, in the future. But in the speaking order, I have Yanis, then I have Egypt, and I have Sweden, and France, and then I have Italy. Okay. Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Heather. I think listening to what Ornov said, we need to define which GAC communication triggers bylaws provisions and if is not followed. I think that until now we never tried to define this threshold, it was kind of instinctive communication with the board on the issues. If we are able to do so, it would be very good. But we need also take into account that the role of the GAC in last years have changed considerably, from the outside judge, if I may use that, who comes in and makes a pronunciation or judgment when things are done already. GAC has become one of the many parties involved in policy development processes and provide inputs from the very beginning of policy development processes. And personally, I don't think that everything GAC says constitutes a formal advice which triggers bylaws provisions. This is input. This is a public policy perspective in the discussion, which is not a formal advice. So whether we will be able to identify which constitutes formal advice or not, that I honestly don't know. Maybe the best way is to do it on ad hoc basis, say that all principles should be considered and treated as a formal advice and automatic, if not followed, automatically trigger bylaw provisions. But then everything after we say we decide whether that is formal advice or not when we communicate with the board and with other communities. And I think that would be the most flexible and easiest way forward. Otherwise, we may be stuck in endless discussions and disputes about this question.
Thank you very much, Latvia. Egypt is next, I believe.
I also want to add that we need to make sure that our advice, or at least our GAC principles, also reflects into the process. I mean, taking it a step further, not only an acknowledgement, but also that it reflects to the process in place. Because, frankly, from our experience with our IDN delegation, I don't feel that the GAC principles are followed in the process in place. I mean, so. And I'm not sure how the GAC principles are interpreted within the different processes. Or, I mean, do we pass them officially to processes, or they should adopt them automatically? Or, I mean, what's the mechanism?
Thank you, Egypt. Next, I have Sweden, and then France and Italy.
Thank you, Heather. I would just say that I would like to add to what Norway is saying, because I agree very much upon what you said about the process, and also how GAC advice actually are taken care of. I mean, the feedback from the actual advice. And I suppose the advice could be a part of a public consultation, and maybe they're handled in a certain way, or it could be a letter we write to the board also. And are those kind of input taken care of in different ways, for instance? That would be interesting to know. And either way, the response is very important and the feedback is very important. And also, it's interesting to know whether other stakeholder groups or advisory groups had contradictional advice. What is actually going to be the result out of all of this together in the actual decisions? And of course, I also agree with Norway that it might be the case that actually the advice from the GAC could be more targeted or focused, depending on what the board likes or wants. So it's certainly the both way around. We could work a little bit on maybe not quality, but context of advice. That's also something we would like to know from the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Sweden. France, please.
Thank you. I just would like to support the notion that fundamentally the main question is what triggers the obligation for the board to respond, to take into account, or to explain why it didn't follow. So fundamentally, the question for the GAC during the discussions is to determine when and how we collectively want to trigger that provision, i.e., whether it is a stage where we want to put very early on a principle that has to shape a further discussion, or whether at a certain stage of the discussion there's something that is to be adopted where there is a problem and this must be said very clearly. But fundamentally, it is not the type of document that says it's formal or not. We can decide that one type of document or another is formal, provided that we want to trigger this mechanism between the GAC and the board. The second thing is, you will see in the document that there would be a benefit for everybody, I think, including for the GAC, but also for external actors, to elaborate a sort of typology of documents. We've already done that because the principles, for instance, is something that has begun to shape quite nicely. We could have other elements like issue papers, like saying we're at an early stage of the process. We just attract attention or draw attention to the following points that need to be taken into account in the process, for instance, in the GNSO process or in a PDP. There can be other elements, very concise or more detailed, but there should be a benefit in having a typology that we progressively elaborate. The last thing that I want to say is this is also about, as Yanis said, the evolution of the involvement of the GAC. And as we were discussing in the part related to the liaisons, it is beneficial for the whole community to facilitate interaction among the different stakeholders as early as possible in the processes. And in this respect, I must confess that I'm a little bit disappointed that the work that has been done in the GNSO regarding the working group model seems to continue to contain the mechanism within the GNSO instead of thinking about a more community-wide mechanism early on. Because in that case, this is a way for the GAC to input elements at different stages of the process instead of what happens too often, which is intervention later on that needs to be stronger and therefore likely to trigger tensions between the different bodies. Thank you.
Thank you, friends. If I try to put together an emerging question that we might put to the board, it's been GAC colleagues so far that have spoken, but it seems that suggestions being made are seeking to determine what happens to a communique, a principles document, or a letter in terms of process once the GAC issues it. Please refine my question and respond to it, because I think we need to find a way to advance our consideration of this question. So please, Italy, and then I have Ray.
Thank you, Chair. So I want to say something in the direction of what Bertrand was saying right now. We are in a moving situation, and the role of the GAC is more and more interlinked into the ICANN structure. And the communication we produced up to now are basically three communique per year. Then the chair is participating into a larger number of board meetings, so there is also an occasion to say something for the GAC. And then we have the GAC principles. In the past, we have produced four or five exceptionally in 1 year, we produced two GAC principles, the GTLDs and WUIs. But normally, the GAC principles are coming out occasionally, let's say. But let me make the example that the first version of the country code, the GAC principles, were produced internally in the GAC without talking with the other constituencies. While it has been pointed out the fact that also in recent years, the GAC is interacting with the country code supporting organization and other constituencies. This is very important. So the point is that now, with the implementation that should be activated, we hope, quite soon, of the new GTLDs plus IDNs, and all the process of the review panels are very, very complicated matters that ICANN is involved in, and the GAC also is very active in interacting with the community about these problems. So in this case, for example, new GTLDs, maybe the GAC principles are not enough, in the sense that as soon as the steps of the implementation goes on, we have to be there, we have to be present, and perhaps the principles are not the most appropriate kind of messages that we deliver. This is something that is important for the GAC to decide in this complicated processes how much we want to be involved in the steps of the implementation, or we want to stay and wait and see, and eventually to signify that there are public policy problems that are coming out from step into another step. So actually, I think that the communication of the GAC, the formality and the value each time has to be elaborated inside the GAC. But I would like now to listen to some opinion from the board members, how they see this evolution.
Thank you, Italy. And that's the perfect setup for my colleague Ray to comment.
Actually, I wasn't going to respond to you. I was actually responding to Heather's question, which appeared to be a process question, and that's really where you're going. Is when you say what happens to the advice, there's two things. One is what was the net result of things, and the other thing is that once the document leaves here, what is the process that it is subjected to in order to get to the point where, and so I think you're asking the second question, Heather, and so I will take that on, and I will report back to the working group what the internal machinations, if any, are, and then we can probably work a little bit more from there. I would like to say one thing in response, in addition to what Bertrand was saying about participation. And he was very, very correct in that the longer that the GAC waits to provide input into the policy process, the much more stronger the wording has to be, and the likelihood and chance of it being effective is actually diminishes. And it's actually counterproductive to a bottom-up policy development process. You know, you need to be at the bottom in order for a bottom-up process to work. So it's something I think that needs to be considered, and actually maybe goes into some look at the in light of the liaisons to the supporting organizations where all the policy work is being done, is to what kind of an interchange can occur there to get these perspectives into the process at the lowest possible point, because the earlier that those perspectives are introduced, the more likely they are going to be incorporated all the way through the discussion, and also the more often those perspectives are introduced at the lowest level, the more likely they are to be assumed parameters going forward by the discussion groups. So I think that part of this whole discussion is trying to find an effective means of doing that.
Excuse me, this is Suzanne. Could I just chime in?
You can intervene following France, so I'll put you in the queue, Suzanne, okay?
Thank you.
Just in response to Ray, thank you for offering to pursue this research question. And I think we can certainly refine it. I'm reminded by the comments that Sweden made, for example, that what happens if you get contradictory advice. So then in that case, it might be of interest then, what does the board do if it receives GAC advice, and what happens when it receives other inputs from other parts of the community? What actually is the mechanism, and how are those issues managed? And perhaps that would be of use to us in our work. So please, Franz, over to you.
Yeah, just a brief reaction to what Ray was saying. First of all, to say that on the substance, I think we're absolutely in line. This is the main question. I would just suggest, however, a slight rewording of what he was saying, instead of saying the longer the GAC waits to provide input, I would reword it in saying the later the GAC has the ability to participate in the process.
That is what I meant.
I know. This is why I'm saying it. And this points to the very big question of how the PDP evolves. So liaison, PDP, and GAC advice are three interlocking components.
Thank you, France. And now I think we have the last speaker. I see the UK. You would like to speak? Okay. So, Suzanne, United States, and then the UK, and you will be the final speaker today, and then we will close the meeting. Okay. Please, US.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Ray and Bertrand, for your most recent interventions. I couldn't agree with you more, but I wonder, I think this does raise an issue about the bylaws, because it is my understanding that the bylaws provide for the GAC to provide advice to the board, such that it is primarily or only the board that has an obligation to review such GAC input. So I would agree completely with Bertrand that we might want to factor in views on the whole policy development process, because currently, as structured, no other SO or AC is actually required to factor in GAC input. So that's not to say that any of these other SOs or ACs are not willing to or not interested. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I think legally, under the bylaws, it is only the board that has the obligation to consider GAC advice. So I do think we need to add that into our deliberations here, because we may wish to propose either amendments to the bylaws or amendments to the policy development process so that we are involved at an earlier stage in the game. Thanks.
Thank you very much, U.S. And it is a useful reminder that objective number 1 and 6 are, I think, closely linked, so we must keep our eye on both those objectives in the report so that they're consistent and that we're able to take into account all that we need to. Over to you, United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Heather. Just coming in on the point about the timeliness of GAC advice, we would certainly sympathize with Ray's view that the earlier the better, and we all want to engage in the development of policy as soon as we can, but we shouldn't lose sight of the fact the way that the GAC works is based on consensus. So you have to work back from a consensus position to individual GAC members reconciling their individual positions so that you arrive at a consensus, and then working further back, each individual GAC member feels it's important to consult within administrations, to consult stakeholders in order to formulate the initial national opinion to feed into the process of developing a GAC consensus. So we shouldn't lose sight of the fact we can't just turn around as the GAC and immediately respond and engage to steer a policy in a particular direction right from the word go. We just can't do that. It's not the way we work. So just a reminder of that important feature of the way we work. We need to consult stakeholders and within administrations and then consult with GAC colleagues here. We try to do that as quickly as possible through intersessional work, but you know, we're a big membership and we have to take account of a lot of views. So I just wanted to underline that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, UK. With that, I think we need to close the meeting. I think we've had very productive discussions today, so thank you very much for coming, and in particular to the various drafters for taking on their various tasks in developing the report. Ray, you may wish to chime in, but we're anticipating intersessional calls. I would remind you that we are aiming to finalize this report at the June meeting, which is the next ICANN meeting. But we've made very good progress, I think, today, so we can feel confident that things are progressing. And we also have a bit of research that, GAC colleagues have tasked our board colleagues with. So we look forward to, getting some feedback on that. So let's continue the discussion on the joint working group list. And don't hesitate to, contribute further online. We will need to focus quite a bit on, the international intersessional aspects before the June meeting. So, Ray, is there anything you would like to add?
Well, to say that I think that we did have a very, very productive session this morning, and that I think we did achieve some focus. I think that there needs to be more discussion into the way that the GAC participates in the public policy process, and that the provision of advice is maybe not necessarily all the time considered to be the big piece of advice from the GAC in, toto, but there's other ways, and that's why I mentioned in my intervention earlier about somehow or other using the liaisons in this regard would, help this matter along. So as the GAC goes through and deliberates this matter of advice, it may also want to consider other ways in which it can filter, if you will, its advice into without having to come up with formal declarations. So it's just food for thought, and I have to run. I have to chair another meeting that starts in 5 minutes. So I want to thank you all for a very good session today and look forward to chatting with you again on the next intersessional meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Ray, for this chairing the meeting. I remind that the next session starts at 1:30 with the presentations of staff on new documents related to new GTLDs. Kurt Pritz will need to leave 1:45, so therefore, please be punctual and come back 1:30 when we will start presentations of the staff on the new documents related to new GTLDs. Thank you.